Every year, millions of people are fleeing their homes in search for safety. As they are trying to rebuild their lives, employment is very often one of the most critical steps in this process. My name is Bettina Szkodlarek, and I am an associate professor at the University of Sydney Business School, and I work on the topic of refugee employment. Together with me are two of my colleagues, Jeannie Lee, the lead author of the paper on the canvas ceiling. She's going to tell us a little bit more about it in a second. And Selina Chu, who is the founder of Humans Like Us, an organization that supports refugees in rebuilding their professional careers.
Good morning, Bettina.
Good morning.
Welcome, ladies. We do know that migration and international adjustment are very challenging for any group of migrants. But we also know that the circumstances that refugees are facing and the fact that they haven't moved voluntarily makes their adjustment much more difficult. Jeannie, could you please tell us about refugees and their journey to employment and how it differs from the experiences of other migrants?
Yeah, so many refugees do face various barriers, including the institutional and organizational individual level factors that influence their employment and workforce integration. And many of these impeding factors may be shared with other migrant counterparts, but it is the interplay between those factors that cumulatively contribute to the suboptimal employment outcomes. So we call this canvas ceiling, and I could give an example of how this interplay showcases in real life. So for example, a refugee might not have their home country qualifications recognized by accreditation bodies and have difficulties proving their qualifications, which could pose difficulties for employers when they try to hire this refugee because they don't understand their qualification, the refugee's qualification. This could also lead to refugees not having an employment that is at the same level as their previous employment in their home countries. So they will be underemployed.
Jeannie, so refugees face, as we know, very complex challenges trying to find employment. We do know they face, you know, institutional, organizational, individual level type of challenges. Could you tell us about each of them? Could you tell us, you know, institutionally, how do they struggle?
So at institutional level, there are various factors that influence the refugees' employment and workforce integration. For example, their immigration policies that delimits their geographical regions. So they might be pushed towards the regional areas to find employment and to resettle. There could also be an accreditation issues where they can't provide evidence for their previous qualifications and experience. There could also be social political issues where there is a perception against refugees, categorizing them as social burdens.
Jeannie, what about employers? What about the organizational level?
So at organizational level, we have employers who have been facing difficulties really recruiting refugees. So they have been, there has been research showing that there are discriminatory practices that shows employers having difficulties hiring refugees because they don't understand the cultural backgrounds of the refugees. They don't understand the qualifications or the experiences that are not recognized by the accreditation bodies of the receiving countries.
So finally, we do know that refugees struggle because of the trauma they might have experienced while relocating to the new home country. What about, how does it impact their employment?
So refugee individuals are very much different from migrant counterparts because of their lack of preparation. So refugees move to a destination country not knowing which country it is. So they don't have the evidence of their qualifications. They didn't have time to prepare for their language skills, develop their understanding of the cultural and institutional backgrounds of the destination countries.
Well, this is really pretty overwhelming, you would think, for anyone. Now, we know that employers are, of course, a big part of the whole process. Selina, Could you tell us what do you think employers can actually do to help refugees?
Thank you, Bettina. So what I'd say to employers is to open your heart to the refugee workforce. Jeannie spoke about some barriers that refugees often face, and she talked about discrimination. Some of these things, like implicit bias, are things that employers can work on. Ordinary recruitment processes can cut out refugees because they don't have local work experience, and so they can't show the employer that they've actually had a lot of experience in this industry in a different country. And so what we found is that employers who have hired refugees may start it as a charitable cause, knowing that it's good for social integration and social harmony, but they found that it's actually good for business as well. One of the things they do is find skills that can be hard to find in the local workforce. They tap into a highly motivated, highly resilient employees who have the strength of character. They've lived and survived really highly traumatic wartime experiences, displacement. And the research shows that they are more loyal than other employees. And also by having refugees in as part of your workforce, you can tap into their friends and family as customers into new markets. One bank had a bank employee, a teller from a refugee background, who had members of his community lined up around the corner to be served by him. So that was good for business. And companies around the world like Starbucks, Hilton and IKEA have recognised these benefits.
This is, you know, wonderful news, Lina, to see that so many big companies and organisations actually engage. But to be very honest, you know, we also know that companies can be very busy. So is there any support that, you know, employers could receive if they were to hire refugees?
Yes, Bettina, the good news is that there is. There's many specialist community organisations working around the world that can support employers who are interested in tapping into this workforce. And these community organisations help job seekers understand workplace culture, which is different in each country, and recruitment practices, which can be very unusual and unfamiliar to newcomers. Importantly, the community organisations also help host teams who may find the idea of welcoming a colleague who's come from a refugee background to be, you know, intimidating, unfamiliar, and the community organisations can really help dispel some of those myths, answer some of those tricky questions that people have. And then, of course, people who have come from a traumatic experience and also may still have family in unsafe situations and are still finding their feet in a new country with a new culture, the community organisations can provide ongoing support in that employment journey when things come up that are unexpected and unfamiliar. And out there, there's some wonderful resources. The best one is the Tent Partnership for Refugees, so it's tent.org. They've got a great online library of resources, including guidelines based on the experiences of companies who have welcomed refugees as colleagues. They talk about what the keys to success are. They list specialist community organisations in each country that can help companies and how to avoid pitfalls. So I recommend all of those resources to our listeners.
Wonderful. Now, it's great to hear that employers are not left alone if they were to embark on this, you know, challenging, yes, possibly task. Now, we also know, Jeannie, from your research, that actually there can be really a win-win situation created when employers do work closer with different support or community organizations. Could you tell us more about your research in this area?
So in our recent empirical study, we found that employers and support organizations can really collaborate together in a way that they reduce burden on each side. So the employers and HR professionals can bring in their up-to-date industry knowledge, and they can volunteer to expand refugees' professional networks and also help refugees in their preparation for job market. Meanwhile, the support organizations can also help the employers in setting up employment support programs and also through the use of their unique know-how on refugee job seekers. So in that collaboration, we know employers can benefit through recruiting this valuable workforce. They can also foster the employee volunteering opportunities and also create a multicultural environment for their through this collaboration, the employers can really benefit by recruiting valuable workforce like the refugee job seekers, and also increase employee volunteering opportunities. They can foster the multicultural and diverse work environment in a way that they reduce the cost. So they can save costs in training and recruitment practices and onboarding programs, because the support organizations already know how to set up those training and recruitment practices tailored for the refugee job seekers. And for support organizations, engagement of employers is very helpful for them to improve the quality of their support programs and also improving the refugee employment outcomes.
Wonderful. It sounds like there is a lot that employers can gain in collaboration, but also that organizations can benefit having employers on board. Thank you both, Jeannie and Selina, for sharing your expertise on this important topic.
Well, Bettina, thank you so much for having me. And I had one last question for you. If you're not an employer and you're out there listening, what else can I do?
Now, the good news is that, yes, there is a lot you can do. Everyone can make a difference by, for example, volunteering time to mentor refugees, supporting them in building professional networks, support refugee-run businesses or enterprises that employ refugees, or simply, absolutely the most simple thing you can do is raise awareness about the challenges that refugees face. So as you can see, the list of opportunities is endless. We do know that the pandemic and the resulting economic downturn will impact refugees negatively and will really have tremendous consequences for them trying to rebuild their lives. But each and everyone can do a little bit to support them. If you would like to make a difference, and if you would like to know more about this important topic, please check our research, but also check the website humanslikeus.org, where there are a lot of important and valuable resources.